the recession ending. If you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
Tuesday is the artificial deadline set by House Democrats for Attorney General William Barr to turn over the full Mueller report. Six committee members have signed a letter requesting the unredacted report of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into the Russian election interference, saying that it was urgently needed for their constitutional duties to be performed. I had a chance to sit down and chat with George Papadopoulos. He's author of a new book titled Deep State Target, How I Got Caught Up in the Crosshairs of a Plot to Bring Down President Trump. He agrees with the Democrats, but for a completely different reason.
I don't think they understand that what they're wishing for is going to end up hurting them. And that's actually why I've been all for full transparency, because I understand that this entire thing was a fabrication. It was a disinformation operation targeted at both the campaign and America for the last 2 years. So any report that anyone read about Russia, in fact, was not about Russia. It was about various other Western intelligence operatives that were engaged with the campaign. So I advocate for the full transparency of the and for the full release of the Barr report. I think it's going to reveal how corrupt the Obama administration was, and the more the Democrats are pounding their fists to get it out there, the happier it makes me, because I don't think they understand what's in that report.
Please remember, you can always find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Front Lines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! Today we're talking about military teamwork. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. What's going on, Josh?
Oh, I'm just here smiling, Colonel. Still smiling from the news that Army veteran and former Senator Bob Dole got a double jump step promotion from captain to colonel this week for his service to our country during World War II. Now, I've heard of battlefield or field promotions, but this is the first time I've heard of Congress voting to approve a rank change. What a treat for the now 95-year-old Senator Dole, who received 2 Purple Hearts and was awarded 2 Bronze Stars for Valor for his actions during the war, which left him severely wounded. In a true show of humility, the hero soldier said, quote, "Well, I'm not sure I deserve it. I remain incredibly grateful. I was proud to wear our nation's uniform 77 years ago when I enlisted, and my pride in America's brave servicemen and women continues today." End quote. And to that I say, hoorah!
That's good to hear. Thanks, Josh. We'll hear from Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby as he shares some warrant wisdom, and Marine Vet Skip Coriel is here with a smirk. Been having a good time, haven't you?
I've been having a great time. You and I were out on the gun range yesterday. We had a good time, and you showed me how to shoot, so I'll appreciate that.
Troops, if you're curious, he showed me how to shoot better, but I'll take credit for it because I am the colonel.
Colonel, you made the Army proud.
I actually hit the target several times. Here's what we have for you today. On news and comment by the colonel, I'm going to suggest that the attitude and culture our nation is developing may seriously hurt our military's ability to build teams. Author Adam Makos' new book, Spearhead, is a true story of an amazing World War II tank gunner. You're going to love this. Then we'll learn about the new partnership between Spartan Nash and Purple Heart Homes. The hurt veterans are the winners here. And Diane Raver will join us to review the movie of the month, Thailand Untapped.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
Troops, as you know, on each show we honor a deceased military person. Not the superstars, but the average soldier, sailor, marine, airman, or coastie. Don't have to have served in combat, but do have to have served honorably. Active duty, guard, or reserve. I have some, but I need more vets to honor. I'm running out. To nominate someone, send me about 250 words summarizing his or her service that I can read on the show. Send the information to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. We welcome your input to the show. Send us other ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or do it on Facebook. And now it's time for news and comment by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom, and we'll start with the news. What's first, Josh?
A government watchdog organization says the Navy's F-35 Joint Strike Fighter isn't ready for combat, even though the service signed off on the aircraft's initial operating capability status last month. The nonprofit Project on Government Oversight, or POGO, said the F-35C variant continues to dramatically underperform in crucial areas, including availability and reliability, cyber vulnerability testing, and life expectancy testing, according to a recent analysis conducted by the organization. The group obtained two charts, dated December 31, 2018, showing the readiness trajectory of the Navy and Marine Corps F-35 variants. POGO analysts wrote, quote, "The fact that the Navy is pushing ahead with the aircraft in spite of evidence that it is not ready for combat and could therefore put at risk missions, as well as the troops who depend on it to get to the fight, comes at the same time as the Pentagon's annual operational testing report for fiscal year 2018 shows that the entire F-35 program, the most expensive weapon system in history, is not ready to face current or future threats." End quote. The Navy previously said its F-35 met all requirements to achieve initial operational capability.
The decision to buy this very expensive aircraft before it was even close to being combat ready, that's beyond me. This is really bad news.
Our Coast Guard continues to experience a hangover effect from the 35-day government shutdown earlier this year, but continues to focus on homeland and national security missions such as Arctic operations, maritime transportation, drug interdiction, and disaster response. In his first State of the Coast Guard speech, the service's top officer, Coast Guard Commandant Admiral Carl Schultz, said the service will require a 5% annual increase in operating and support monies to ensure operational readiness. "It's unfair," he said, "not to provide sufficient operating and support funding to maintain the current fleet, train and equip service members, and support their families." According to Schultz, the service's operations and support budget has flatlined in the past 8 years, resulting in a $1.7 billion backlog of deferred maintenance, outdated information technology, and a strained and undersized workforce. Schultz said, quote, "That's particularly problematic for an organization with facilities spread far and wide across the nation. In addition, we need to build modern infrastructure to support homeporting our newest assets, including polar security and offshore patrol cutters," end quote. The proposed and current budgets would fund adding the Scan Eagle unmanned aerial system on the service's national security cutters, several offshore patrol cutters, the next icebreaker, and several new offshore patrol cutters and fast response cutters.
Our Coast Guard has a huge mission and a small workforce. That their budget for the past 8 years has not grown is not good for our nation. I trust that this will change.
Border Patrol agents in El Paso, Texas, apprehended more than 400 illegal immigrants in a span of 5 minutes. The agents apprehended the first group of 194 illegal immigrants around 2:45 a.m. near Bowie High School in El Paso. 5 minutes later, another group of agents apprehended a second group of 252 who had just crossed the border near downtown El Paso, according to a press release from the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. The agency wrote, quote, "In all, agents had already taken over 430 people into custody within the first 3 hours, in what appears to be only the beginning of another busy day for the El Paso Sector Border Patrol. End quote. The group was comprised mostly of Central American families and unaccompanied minors, which Border Patrol says is seen regularly. The agency also said that it has averaged 570 apprehensions a day for the past month, 90% of which occur in the El Paso metropolitan area.
Over 500 illegals a day for over a month just in El Paso? We can't afford to support these people. Bottom line, we need a secure border.
If the Marine Corps is serious about getting ready to take on a near-peer enemy like China in the future, then it's time to fold its 13-year-old Special Operations Command and apply those resources elsewhere. At least that's the argument one retired Marine officer made while presenting ways the service can better prepare for large-scale naval operations, and it's causing quite a stir. Dakota Wood, who worked as a strategist at Marine Corps Forces Special Operations Command, or MARSOC, from 2012 to 2013, released a report titled Rebuilding America's Military, the United States Marine Corps. It was published by the Heritage Foundation, a conservative Washington think tank, where Wood serves as a senior research fellow. In the report, Wood writes, quote, "Facing relentless operational tempo and ongoing budget woes, the Marine Corps should reevaluate where it's spending resources." As part of that effort, he said service leaders should strongly consider disestablishing MARSOC. Wood says, it's a great outfit, and they're doing great things, so this is not to disparage MARSOC. It's stepping back and saying, okay, Marine Corps, what are you supposed to be doing here? And how are you using the resources that you have? Wood wrote that the 2,700 Marines already assigned to MARSOC do more to benefit U.S. Special Operations Command than they do the Marine Corps.
Wood's comments make real sense. Organizations need to regularly look at their missions and ensure that they focus on their mission and not use resources to do things that are cool but not necessary to do for their mission. And that's the news. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel, and then we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk about a World War II tanker. At ease, troops, take a break.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coria with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. Every year we hear of new biological threats ranging from mutated flu viruses to full-blown worldwide pandemic. Always keep a 3-month supply of food, fresh water, and medical supplies inside your home. The only reliable defense against pandemic is to avoid human contact by staying inside your home until the threat is passed. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
American investors lost $3.7 trillion of net worth in the fourth quarter of 2018. When your portfolio's value decreases right before or early in your retirement, it can have a crippling effect. It's called sequence of returns risk, and it's a risk you simply cannot afford. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we're on a mission to help hardworking Americans transform their hard-earned savings into steady, predictable retirement income. Call now for free, no-obligation information to help you get started on your way to steady, predictable retirement income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Let's transform that risk into income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies, powered by the Retirement Income Store.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Twenty minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. A Front Lines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, Honor and Remember. Our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia, with support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Our nation is so polarized right now that I'm not sure we can maintain our functional military, as there's little sense of people disagreeing on some issues but working together. At least that's in the minds of many of our citizens, and especially our youth. In too many situations, facts mean nothing, and decisions or actions are based on emotions only. In this environment, it's hard to build a team, much less a team where each member would die for the other one. It's worth asking, why are we so polarized? Well, we're polarized because as a country, we no longer share the same values and we lack tolerance. We don't love America. There are Americans who are pro-life and those who are pro-choice. We're used to that. Then there are those who claim to be the party of science, who will claim in the same breath that a man becomes a woman by declaring that he thinks he is one. Many Americans believe in the enforcement of laws for immigration, including a border wall and deportation of those who violate those laws. But others maintain we have a moral obligation to let people pour across our borders and demand access to welfare, etc. 2016 presidential election made it clear that there are those who respect the outcome of elections and those who apparently believe that when elections don't produce the results they want, they can riot, destroy public property, and attack people with whom they disagree. People are being attacked on college campuses. America was founded on the concept of liberty and a free market, and most Americans still defend those concepts. We now have a significant number of politicians and pundits, at least, who think that the government has the right to declare entire industries, like oil and gas, private medical insurance, air transportation, farming, etc., illegal. They believe that they have the right to shutter businesses that other people have built. They announce their intentions and expect the rest of us to go along. What's worse, it no longer satisfies progressives to live as they see fit and let everybody else make their own choices. Instead, the hardcore leftists intend to use every level of power at their disposal, including the government, to force everyone to live according to their values. Christian bakers, florists, and photographers have been put out of business or sued as a result of state laws ordering them to provide services for gay weddings in violation of their religious beliefs. Our Supreme Court provided some protection for the religious business owners last year, but the decision was narrow and lawsuits continue. In 2014, California passed laws that forced pro-life pregnancy centers, many of whom are religiously based, to advertise and promote abortion centers. Again, it took the U.S. Supreme Court to protect those charities from these goofy legislators who trampled on their constitutional rights. Bioethicists in Canada and the U.S. have begun to argue that doctors should be required to perform abortions and euthanasia, notwithstanding their religious belief on personal values. Former President Obama's Department of Education told public schools they were required to permit biological males who identified as females to use girls' bathrooms and locker rooms. Transgender males got the same right. The Trump administration rescinded those rules, and despite concern about disadvantage expressed by female athletes and some feminist scholars, more schools and even the Olympics are permitting biological males who identify as transgender females to compete in women's sports. Hey, guess what happens when this happens in wrestling matches? Those issues, and plenty of others, bring controversy and disagreement, but disagreement is increasingly not allowed. If you dare to challenge the party line, progressives in the social media will close your accounts and silence you. You can find yourself without access to banking services and ride-sharing services could refuse you. Well, these are private businesses, the argument goes. They should serve who they wish. But that doesn't seem to apply to Christian bakers. And this will not be limited to businesses. The IRS under Obama targeted politically conservative groups that applied for tax-exempt status and deliberately held up their applications. It's no stretch to imagine what will happen if the federal government takes over control of health care. Hey, you don't have the correct view on gun control or climate change or the Electoral College? Well, sorry, you'll just have to wait for that neurosurgeon or oncologist or expensive prescription. Look what's going on in England. Is there hope for finding common ground on these contentious issues? Well, only if we'll admit that a country of 328 million people will have different agreements, but agree to disagree and be friends and work together. If our government and our media and our educational institutions remain surrendered to those who insist on using raw power to obtain what they want, things are only going to get worse. We have to be able to agree to disagree on most topics and still work together. Quote, "that offends me" does not make a comment inappropriate in a serious discussion. We have to be able, as individuals, to work with all our fellow citizens, or our military will cease to exist as a team that can win wars. Parents, coaches, teachers, we have to ensure that our children are taught how to think, not what to think. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
You know, Colonel, a petty officer currently stationed at Dutch Harbor, Alaska, is the first Coast Guard member since 2012 to be awarded the prestigious Coast Guard Medal for Heroism. Given to military members serving with the Coast Guard for heroism in a situation not involving contact with the enemy, the medal was presented to Petty Officer Second Class Tracy Huddleston for her extraordinary heroism during the mass shooting in Las Vegas on October 1, 2017. Coast Guard Commandant Admiral Carl Schultz presented it Tuesday during a ceremony at the annual USO Metro Gala in Washington, D.C. Huddleston described her actions during the shooting as being, quote, "in just the wrong place, wrong time, but also the right place, right time." The shooting killed 58 concertgoers and injured 850 others. According to the medal citation, Huddleston disregarded her own safety to guide others to cover and then spent hours providing first aid and assisting other victims before other help arrived. Recognizing there was no place to take cover from the hail of gunfire raining down on the crowd, she demonstrated incredible courage and composure by immediately guiding a nearby 14-year-old to the ground using her body to shield her from gunfire. Without concern for her own safety, she attended to the girl's mother who was suffering from bullet wounds to her neck and her body. Tragically, the woman died from her wounds. With danger still imminent, Huddleston kept moving. Between gunfire bursts, she guided the girl to areas of cover and ultimately guided a group of concertgoers to safety at a restaurant more than a mile away. There, she provided first aid for more than 5 hours. The citation for the Coast Guard Medal states, "Petty Officer Huddleston demonstrated remarkable initiative, exceptional fortitude, and daring in spite of imminent personal danger. Her courage and devotion to duty are in keeping with the highest traditions of the United States Coast Guard." Huddleston said she was notified about a week ago that she would be receiving the award during the gala. After the ceremony, she said, "I still just feel in shock from everything. It's an honor for sure." The Coast Guard Medal for Valor was last presented nearly 7 years ago in 2012, when it was given posthumously to Senior Chief Petty Officer Terrell Horn, who was killed after throwing himself in front of a shipmate to protect him from an oncoming vessel. You know, I had no idea a Coast Guard member was at that concert, but to be honest, I'm not at all surprised by her actions. It's just kind of part of the Coast Guard DNA. So, Petty Officer Tracy Huddleston, we at Frontlines of Freedom salute your bravery and are proud to call you shipmate. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thank you, Roland. You're an amazing guy and a good friend. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss the book Spearhead, the story of a World War II tank gunner. Then we'll learn about Purple Heart Homes. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for planks. Let's do 2 minutes each and do 10, then stand at ease.
Spartan Nash is committed to supporting our veterans as they transition out of the service and back into the workforce. As a veteran-friendly and military-friendly employer, Spartan Nash is committed to hiring, training, and retaining those who served our country.
Learn how your skills and experience can be put to use at Spartan Nash and begin your civilian career with us. Learn more at careers.spartannash.com.
Exercise is hard. So is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying. Type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly a million people a year. But most of these deaths are preventable with regular activity, a healthier diet, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. You can stop it starting right now. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
At a Q&A event hosted by Politico, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi criticized former VP Joe Biden for his expressions of affection toward Lucy Flores at a campaign rally in Nevada back in 2014, but stopped short of condemning him or saying he's disqualified as a presidential candidate.
You know, he has to understand in the world that we're in now that people's space is important to them, and what's important is how they receive it, not necessarily how you intended it.
Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen is boosting support at the southern border. In a statement, Nielsen said she's deploying another 750 U.S. Customs personnel to the border. All of this in an effort to keep things safer on the U.S.-Mexico border, to which White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders reminds us,
the president's number one responsibility is to protect American life.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome to the show New York Times bestselling author Adam Marcos. Adam has written an amazing true story about an American tank gunner, his enemy, and a collision of lives in World War II. It's an amazing book. Welcome to the show, Adam.
Hey, thanks for having me, Denny.
Adam, tell us about your background. Where did your interest in writing come from and your interest in World War II?
My interest in all this stuff came from my grandfathers, actually. Both had served in World War II. One was on a B-17 in the Pacific. The other was a Marine set to invade Japan. When I was growing up, they used to take my brother and me to museums and to air shows, and they'd build us those plastic models. And they just lit a spark in our minds for about that era in particular, World War II. Trouble was, none of our friends at school cared about it. We were growing up in the 90s, and it was countercultural. And so we started a little newsletter that became a magazine about veteran stories. And that magazine led to what I do today, and that is write some of the tales of some of our greatest unsung heroes in book form so it will live forever.
That's amazing, and it must give you some serious personal satisfaction.
Oh, absolutely. It's about admiration for the generation that saved the world back then. It's also a duty because I realize a lot of young guys gave their lives and are forever young and they're forgotten. And I don't think it's right for our society to move forward and to worship the Kardashians and worship sports and entertainment and to forget about the fact that we have the lifestyle we do thanks to the men and women who serve. So it's about righting a wrong as much as anything.
Well, you know, one of the things that everybody in America knows that we have a lot of rights, but most of us too many people forget they have with the rights come duty and responsibility. And I think you addressed duty very well. Okay, let's get to Spearhead, which, by the way, troops, if you didn't know, that's the motto of the 3rd Armored Division in which our hero served. And I suspect that's why it became the title of the book. Tell us about Clarence Moyer and Spearhead, Adam.
Well, Clarence was an unsung hero I found in Allentown, Pennsylvania. His neighbors didn't know what he had done in the war. His family didn't know. He was just living quietly in a row house. But I had gotten a tip from a friend who said an amazing American tank gunner lives there, and nobody knows it. And so I discovered the story that day when Clarence invited me in to sit at his kitchen table, the story of a 21-year-old tank gunner in the 3rd Armored Division, the Spearhead Division, who found himself leading the U.S. Army into the city of Cologne to lead us into the biggest urban battle of the European War. And it was because he was such a tremendous tank gunner. And so for me, it was about understanding how such a young guy could be given such a big responsibility and what made him such a great gunner.
Well, that's true. And by the way, he didn't want to be a gunner, did he?
No, Clarence was originally a loader on a Sherman tank, happy to just shovel the shells into the breech and let somebody else pull the trigger. And that's where this amazing transformation takes place, because it's about how a guy who doesn't want to have literally blood on his hands, he comes to decide that he has to lead the way. He has to be the one to take the shot. He has to be the one to protect his friends and keep his family alive, because his crew was his family. The 5 guys in that tank, they were everything to him. And he came to realize when they made him the gunner and he had no choice in it, that he either could shoot first and shoot straight and not miss, or he could watch his buddies die. And so for Clarence, the choice came pretty easily.
You know, it's not unreasonable or uncommon for somebody to say, I'll serve if I need to serve, but I don't want to kill people. I mean, that's a reasonable thing for a person to feel. And he felt that way. But when push came to shove, he was willing to step up, right?
And that's where they discovered he had this incredible talent as a tank gunner, because he was so afraid to let his crew down to get one of his buddies killed. Because you got, whenever a Sherman tank was hit, statistically, one man was going to be killed and one would be badly wounded. And Clarence just didn't want to fail them. And so he became a tremendous tank gunner. The Wall Street Journal said he was an artist with a tank gun. And it was not because he wanted to kill more Germans than anyone else. It was because he wanted to protect the men in his tank and the men behind him in the column. Because the first tank that leads the way is in the most danger, and yet they had the most responsibility.
Amen. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing the book Spearhead with author Adam Mekos. So Clarence became a good gunner, whether he had to have some natural ability, but he also had the will and the drive to excel. Good combination to be successful at anything. So he's leading his tank. He became the tank commander after a while, I think. But there's a German tanker he's eventually going to meet too, right?
Yes, and so Clarence gets this duty after watching the Sherman tanks badly decimated in the Battle of the Bulge. So Spearhead follows Clarence breaching the West Wall into Germany, fighting through the Battle of the Bulge. And we lost so many tanks in the Bulge, we actually had to borrow more Shermans from the British to continue the push into Germany. But they rushed over 20 experimental tanks, the Pershing, right off the assembly line. And they said they're going to be tested in battle. And so Clarence was given one of those Pershing tanks. He would at moments serve as a commander, but he was mostly a gunner for the big battle. And that's when he was tasked with leading the army into Cologne. And an army cameraman followed him from block to block as he fought through that city. And eventually, Clarence would knock out 2 German tanks in Cologne. The first one was a Panzer IV that he encountered, and it backed behind the building. And what he did to knock that down, this artist with a tank gun, he actually shot the building over onto the German tank. And it dislodged the gun from its mount, and the German crew had to abandon the tank. So that was the first one, but the second one was the one that made him famous, and that was the Panther at the Cologne Cathedral.
And it was an amazing thing. I mean, that impacted his whole life. That wasn't just a one good shot, one good exchange, one good engagement in combat. It really affected his whole life, and that's also where he eventually met his German counterpart, right?
It absolutely did affect his life. He was given the chance to rise up and become a hero. What happened, this German Panther tank had ambushed two American Shermans at the very end of the battle, in the last hour of the battle, right when these guys were about to reach the Cologne Cathedral and declare the city secured. A Panther tank ambushed them, killed three Americans, knocked out these two tanks, and the call went out, can anybody stop this thing? This Panther tank had parked right in front of the cathedral there, perfect metaphor, right, defending to the last round in front of this holy site. Almost fanatical, you might say, the German crew. You know, you can argue that. But Clarence's crew said, we'll take care of them. Send us. We'll go forward. And they did, and Clarence drove forward and found himself basically muzzle to muzzle with this Panther tank. The amazing thing is the cameraman, Jim Bates, an Army cameraman, had perched himself in a building, turned his camera on, and he filmed what happened next. Clarence had a plan that day, and the plan was for his driver to inch them into the intersection. He would shoot and then back up, because German tanks had a reputation for being very hard to knock out. So that was Clarence's plan, shoot him once and then back up. Well, instead, when the driver saw himself looking down the muzzle of this German Panther, which was ready to shoot him, he floored it, and he launched the Pershing out into the middle of the intersection. Now Clarence is completely exposed. Two tanks are broadside to one another. Their guns facing one another. And that's when he made a crucial decision to just shoot anywhere without aiming. And he shot freely, and he hit this German tank, and he rattled the gunner inside. He rattled the crew, and he started it to burn. It was enough to give him the advantage, and he shot it a second time and a third until the German crew had either evacuated or died inside. But all the while, every time he was shooting, he was looking down the black muzzle of that Panther tank. And after that, his tank backed up, and they were catching their breath. When that cameraman came down, he said, I got it. I captured it all.
That's got to be exciting, and exciting for somebody who's been in combat. I've been in combat. I never had somebody say that, and I think I'm glad they didn't, because I don't know what I'd have done. There's a lot more to discuss about Clarence Moyer and World War II, and Adam's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Danny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do every day. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back.
Now is the time, and wherever you are is the place. The Citadel makes it easier to earn your degree by offering master's degrees, graduate certificates, and undergraduate degree completion programs that are entirely online. These programs are convenient for working professionals and those serving in the U.S. military, continuing the Citadel's legacy of academic excellence. Classes are held to the same high standards that consistently name the Citadel the number one master's-granting public college in the South. The Citadel. Online, on your time. Visit citadel.edu/online.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with author Adam Mekos about his book on World War II, Spearhead. Now, Gustav was a German tanker who ended up, though Clarence didn't know it, I guess, opposing him, but they ultimately met each other. Talk to us about Gustav and how he and Clarence fought each other. Then we'll get to how they talked after the war.
So one of those two German tanks that Clarence encountered in Cologne had this young 18-year-old German tank gunner named Gustav Schaefer. Now, Gustav, of course, was in a Panzer IV. He was in the first tank that Clarence battled. And what happened was they faced off down a long boulevard. Gustav's tank commander pulled out. He saw this Pershing there, and he ordered them to back up. And that's when Clarence decided the way he was going to shoot Gustav's tank was to fell the building on it. It was actually an accident. He was trying to shoot through the building when he started to see the building was crumbling. So he just increased his fire and dropped the bricks on Gustav's tank. Gustav ran away that day, and he was taken prisoner that evening, and he would survive. Now, fast forward all those years, when I sat down with Clarence to interview him for the first time, he said, "I've got a letter from the German I fought against." And he was talking about Gustav. Gustav had been identified by some journalists in Cologne, and Clarence found him. And he said, "I'm going to go meet him." And so it was quite incredible to get to go to Cologne and watch these two old enemies, Clarence, the tall American, Gustav, barely 5 foot tall, the little short German, as they approached each other in front of the Cologne Cathedral, stuck out their hands, shook hands, and Clarence leaned over and said, "The war is over. We can be friends now." And Gustav said, "Ja, ja, gut." It was an amazing moment to think those men had been trying to kill each other 70 years earlier.
That is an amazing aspect. What I found really interesting is Clarence went home, got a job, built a family, did the normal things that most World War II veterans did. My father-in-law, one of them. But he was still hurting inside. He had what we would call today post-traumatic stress, didn't he?
He did, and it was partially due to a combination of horrors. I mean, he had seen his tank commander killed before his eyes when he ran out to try to help some GIs who had been wounded. He was hit by a mortar right in front of Clarence. Clarence had his general killed in a massacre called the Wellborn Massacre that we cover in the book, when German tanks ambushed an American task force and wiped it out. A little-known story. It's not in any of the history books. Clarence had mistakenly killed a civilian during the war. There was a lot of trauma for him. I mean, this was a guy who was fighting from, again, the hedgerows of France to the Battle of the Bulge through the city of Cologne. And what's his last assignment of the war? It's to take on the Nazi Fort Knox at Paderborn, the home of the German armor schools. So we follow that battle in the book. We follow how up to the last day of the war, he's jousting with German tanks in the ruins of a rail yard. And so he saw a lot of bad stuff. He knocked out 5 tanks in the war. He saw the faces of some of the men he killed. And as an old man, it came back to him when he put in this video. When the video was found, it was the footage of him fighting during World War II. It was found in the archives. And he got a copy of it, and he watched himself fighting again as a 21-year-old, and it brought back all those memories.
And very few World War II vets that I have knowledge of had really painful memories that they couldn't cope with, because most of them just talked it through with other vets, either on their way home on the ships or American Legion posts or whatever. But some did, and Clarence was really, really hurting, wasn't he?
He certainly was, and he needed to talk to somebody, but the only person Well, his crew had all died by then. So he wanted to talk to somebody who had seen the same things he saw. And one day it dawned on him, the only man I can talk to who saw the same things in the city of Cologne, in particular, that one memory of the civilian he killed, a young woman, when he shot a car that drove between them, was Gustav. Gustav was battling him at the same time when that car drove through. Clarence shot the car to pieces with his machine guns. Gustav shot it too, and that's how Clarence decided, I've got to talk to this guy. It's more than just reminiscing about the war. This is about putting the war behind us. So it was quite an unusual circumstance where, to heal from World War II, Clarence needed the help of his enemy. And that's what we got to watch that day when they reunited.
Wow. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom, and we're talking with author Madam Makos about his book, Spearhead. So the two former enemies spent several days together, looking, talking, having a beer, and then parted, expecting never to see each other again. But they did stay friends and communicated, didn't they?
They did. They exchanged Christmas cards and letters, even talked on the computer on Skype. And it was amazing to see them sit down in Cologne and have a beer together and to tell jokes. Clarence said, hey, did your tank have a refrigerator? Because ours did. And Gustav to that said, yeah, we had one only in winter time. Clarence said, you know, did you have a toilet in yours? Because we had one in ours, which was, of course, was not true. And Gustav said, yeah, we did too. He said, in the empty shell casing. And so these guys had the same sense of humor, and they just bonded. And they knew they were going to be friends to the end. And so after they shared the beers, after they shared some laughs, they went back to the place where they fought. They stood there, and Gustav said, here's where our tank was. Here's what we were thinking. Here's what we were trying to do. And Clarence told his side of the story. And they were able to put the war behind them by going back to the battlefield. And that's what makes Spearhead such a cool book, because it's World War II told from both sides. I got to know Gustav that day because I tagged along with him. And I said, can I tell your story in this book? Not just the battle for Cologne, all the battles you fought. Because Gustav was in a Panther tank, he was in a Panzer IV. And that allowed me to tell, you know, an incredible World War II story of two men whose lives were on this collision course. Two men whose battles would lead to the ultimate showdown when they fought each other. And that's why the book has been doing so well on the New York Times bestseller list and still going strong.
Well, as a veteran who's read an awful lot of books and doesn't like most of what he's read about when people try to do it, this is one of the best books on real war, on real combat that I've ever read. And the last five chapters tore me up when those two guys got together. So, Adam, awesome book. Now, troops, we're going to give away a copy of Spearhead at the end of the show. Adam, I'm sure listeners can buy copies of Spearhead at Amazon and major booksellers. Is that right?
Yes, sir, Colonel Gillum. It's for sale everywhere. It's been a top 10 seller in Barnes & Noble stores, doing great on Amazon. You can get it at your local bookstore. And again, 4 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. It's a great feat, not because it's my book, but because we took a story from 74 years ago, a story of untold heroes, and suddenly we brought them into the public sphere. And so they're trending. People are talking about this book. And we're saluting our World War II heroes. That's the important thing.
Well, saluting is important, but doing it right and in a way that expresses the dignity and respect, you did a great job. Adam, I'm proud to call you a friend. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for recording the history, recording this story of a great American soldier and some real action. I'm proud to call you a friend.
Hey, likewise, sir, and thanks for having me on Front Lines of Freedom. It's quite an honor.
Here's our Stand Tall Troop report. This is when we find an outstanding performance of duty, and we all get to honor this fine troop. A 94-year-old World War II veteran has received his high school diploma 74 years after he would have gotten it had he not enlisted. Paul Snow said he felt naked from all the attention he received during a ceremony at St. John's High School, but says he always wanted to get his diploma. Well, the Worcester Telegram and Gazette reported the Worcester native entered the U.S. Navy a day before his 18th birthday in 1943. He was honorably discharged about 3 years later. U.S. Representative James McGovern and St. John's High School worked together to award a diploma to Snow as a tribute to his service. Snow was awarded with an honorary diploma dated 17 June 1945. So stand tall, Paul Snow. Front Lines of Freedom and all of our nation's patriots salute you. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour learning about Purple Heart Homes. Then we'll review the movie of the month with Diane Raver. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America Report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, it's time to run. Run a couple of miles of wind sprints outside. Then grab some protein and rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.
Fisher House is a huge part of the recovery for wounded, injured, and ill service members and veterans. They provide a comfortable, safe place for their families. It's not a hotel. These houses are located at military and VA medical centers all over the U.S. and around the world. They have a common kitchen, laundry facilities, a warm dining room, and an inviting living room, too. Help make a difference in the lives of military and veterans' families. Learn how you can help Fisher House today at fisherhouse.org.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense.
Winston Churchill's immortal words stirred an entire country in the face of certain defeat. Today, these words give each of us the courage to reach for our own victories.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never.
Commitment. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Fireworks on Capitol Hill at a House Oversight Committee hearing.
3:30 the day before you schedule a 8:30 a.m. interview for the very next day at the organizational meeting of this committee, you pledged you would not do that. You said closed-door testimony would be done so that members could attend, but you pick a Saturday on a week we're not even in session and tell us the day before.
Republican Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio, as the House Oversight Committee holds a hearing after the White House reportedly gave security clearances to dozens of people with disqualifying issues in their backgrounds. Several tanks appear to be burning at a large chemical plant fire near Houston, Texas. Firefighters are working on getting the flames out near the center of the KMCO facility in Crosby. Seen from miles away are two columns of thick black smoke billowing up in the air. KMCO specializes in chemical manufacturing. You're listening to USA Radio News.
What's on your bucket list? Running a marathon, hiking to the top of a mountain, or maybe surfing? What if I told you you can accomplish all of it at any age? This is Wayne Allen Root, and I'd like to introduce you to somebody that's changed my life, made me feel years younger, maybe saved my life, my Cenogenics physician, Dr. Bob Letta.
Thanks for the introduction, Wayne. At Cenogenics, we help people look and feel many years younger. We've been in business since 1997. We have locations across the United States, and we've treated over 35,000 patients worldwide. Our age management medicine is proven to work. On the Cenogenics program, you will have your own doctor, exercise counselor, and nutritionist all working together to fine-tune plans especially for you.
Thank you, Dr. Letta. I'm 57 and I feel like I'm 30 again. I feel the best of my life. I have the most energy of my life. Are you ready to start feeling the best of your life? Defy your age with Cenogenics. Call now for your free consultation at 888-YOUNGER. That's toll-free 888-YOUNGER. Or go to Cenogenics.com.
The Army is investigating the death of a soldier from New Jersey who was killed over the weekend during a live training exercise in Alaska. Army officials say the soldier was shot on Saturday at the Donnelly Training Center near Fort Greely and died while receiving medical attention. A survey finds that social media is linked to a rise in mental health disorders. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has more on the story.
The American Psychological Association releasing its national survey a few days ago in which it finds mental health issues have risen significantly over the last decade. They credit that rise in digital media as a major reason why. The research finds that more and more young adults, specifically those born in 1995 or later, are suffering from negative psychological symptoms. And studies do show that more social media use is linked to increased symptoms of social anxiety, social isolation, and loneliness.
You can find us online at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
America is built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple. And no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Claiming that the college athletes model is broken, Democratic Senator Chris Murphy issued a comprehensive report that called for the NCAA to compensate student athletes. The report follows a bill that was put forth by Congressman Mark Walker of North Carolina, Republican, that would amend the federal tax code to allow college athletes to profit from use of their names, images, and likenesses via commercial opportunities ranging from advertisements to video games. Purdue University President and former governor of Indiana, Mitch Daniels, on paying college athletes.
I think that the fairness or equity argument that the congressman and others are making is very hard to disagree with. And as the money gets bigger and bigger, the fairness argument becomes stronger and stronger. So I will say that going this route is certainly better than letting universities pay athletes directly. You head that way, you'll soon have a few schools, the one-and-done factories and others, becoming essentially another professional league. You have a fracture in which the rest of us go off and play college sports as we've always known them. So I think that this idea has some merit. You have to be very careful how you do it.
Daniels goes on to explain that athletes being paid under the table is a huge concern of his. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com. At the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum.
Hoo-ah!
The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. I have several friends who are alumni of the Citadel, the Military College of South Carolina. This great institution allows cadets to further their education and earn a commission.